Shoiftim v'shoitrim hitem l'cha v'chol sha'arecha. Judges and enforcers you should place in all of your dwelling places. Asher Hashem Elokecha noisim l'chol shvatecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you according to your shvatim. V'shoftu esa'am mishpat tzedek, and they should judge the nation in judgment of righteousness. So many mefarshim tells us on the word shayftim v'shayftim titein l'cha b'chol sha'arecha. What is the word l'cha? The word l'cha is a little bit extra. Could have said shayftim v'shayftim titein b'chol sha'arecha. What is the l'cha here? So there are numerous pshatim on this. The Kli Yakar brings down a pshat based on the Gemara involving the Tzia Daf Kuv Zayin on the days. The Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, Shayt atzmecha. First you have to rectify yourself. Only then, after you rectify yourself, you yourself are on a proper madrega, only then can you give musr to others, only then can you try and rectify others. So it's not the Kli Yakar, the Datsma room is over here. Shayftim v'shaytrim titein l'cha. First you have to place the shayftim and the shaytrim on yourself. You have to judge in yourself what is right to do, what's wrong to do. Then you have to enforce it within yourself. After the l'cha, then you can have l'chol sha'arecha. Then you can spread your wings to other places to try and rectify others. But the first yisrael has to be shayftim v'shaytrim titein l'cha. You first have to rectify yourself, and then only then can you have ashpa on others. I saw a beautiful story that's brought down with the Chofetz Chaim. The Panavizhirov, Rav Yisrael Shlomo Kahanam and Zechatzah Baruch, originally learned in the Tells of Yeshiva in Litton. And then he had to leave the yeshiva, much to the chagrin of the Rosh Yeshiva of Lazer Gordon. Rav Lazer Gordon loved him. Not he was like the apple of his eye. He left the yeshiva, and he ended up learning by the Chofetz Chaim for a while, a number of years. So one time on his way back home for a Ben Azmanim, he stopped off in Tells to say hello to his older yeshiva. So Lazer Gordon says, tell me something about the Chofetz Chaim. Let me hear something about him. So the Panavizhirov says, I'll tell you a small zach. He says, every day after Shachris, Chofetz Chaim had a minute to give the Rei Chizuk to the Bach. Every day, about the Iman HaTorah and HaSmodah. And one day after Shachris, he announced, he says, today I can't give the Shmuz, I can't say the Rei Chizuk. Tavos, because last night he didn't learn the way he should. He didn't place enough time into learning. So how could he give Musa to others to learn if he himself didn't learn properly? What was the reason why he couldn't learn properly the night before? Because a shipment of a new volume of Mishnah Brura had just arrived by the Chofetz Chaim. And he used to check every binding and every page of every sefer together with his family to make sure that the buyer does not buy something which is deficient. So he spent a lot of time on that the night before. He didn't have the proper amount of time to learn. How could he give Musa to somebody else about Numa Torah if he himself didn't learn properly the night before? So Lazer Gordon said, that's enough. You don't have to tell me anything else. From this alone, I can see who the Chofetz Chaim is. Agav, this has nothing to do with this Vart, but he told over of Lazer Gordon the second Maisa with the Chofetz Chaim. The Panavizhirov learned the Chavrusa with Rav Chana Vassaman in Chofetz Chaim's yeshiva. Panavizhirov said that those were the hardest years of his life, and at the same time, they were the best years of his life. He said to learn with Rav Chanan b'Chavrusa was one of the most difficult tasks possible. They could learn for 8-9 hours straight and not budge from their gemara. Rav Chanan's power of concentration was unbelievable. So one time they were learning a Mishnah Brura, and they had a kash on the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura brings down a buck or a source from a sefer. They didn't have the sefer in front of them. So they went to the Chofetz Chaim's house to see maybe he had the sefer. So Chofetz Chaim answered them, I don't have the sefer. He says, and Chaval, he says, I feel bad for the many svarim that I do have. So he looked at him, why? Because svarim cost money. And money means time. And time means tiger. He said, Chaval, I bought too many svar. This is what the Chofetz Chaim said. So, Rav Lazer Gordon said, that's what he said to Akin. So, Maharishu says, no, that's not what he said, that's what he is. But in every second was so counted that he felt being, he had extra svara. And the Pramod Gajiro said, by the way, his extra svara was not that great. He didn't have such a big extra svara to begin with. And yet, he bemoaned the fact that maybe he bought too many svara because it's money, and money is time that took away from his money. This was the Chofetz Chaim. That's one pshat in Shaytan B'Shaytan Titan L'cho B'chol Sharech. I saw a different pshat. I saw a different pshat. Shaytan B'Shaytan Titan L'cho B'chol Sharech. There are some people that like to have the Chosh of a Rav as a trophy that they keep on their shelf. You know, our shul has a Chosh of a Rav. It's a Gemal B'Gazak. But it has to be Shaytan B'Shaytan Titan L'cho. It's not just to put, you know, on the mantle that you have, oh, we have a Chosheb Rav. You have to be able to apply it to yourself, and you have to be able to accept the Divrei Musar and the Divrei Teichacher that the Rav is giving. You know, the city of New York, in the early 1900s, they were looking for a chief rabbi. And there were a few very Chosheb names on the list, the Beis Halevi, Yosef Soloveitchik, and they wanted the Malbim to come. And the Seifers, they got a very Chosheb Rav, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. RJJ is named after Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. And unfortunately, when he wanted to make certain takonas in the kashrus, they were raided for him until Imamish got sick from the whole thing. He was nifter at a very young age. They wanted to have the chosh of a rav. Well, when it came time to listen to what the rav has to say, that they were not willing to do. They say over a mice, I don't know if it's true, but it's, you know, one of those stories that, certain kehillah, a kehillah that was not known for his frumkeit, they got themselves a new rabbi. This fellow was an amateur, the person who's taking his job seriously. When he saw something wrong in the community, there were certain leniencies in keeping Shabbos and in tzniyus and in whatever. He darshened about it, but Rabbi wasn't going to spoil. He said what he had to say. So one of the board members came over to me. He says, Rabbi, he says, you know, you're talking about personal things over here. Can you, like, change the subject, talk about something else? He says, if I don't talk about Shabbos, I don't talk about tzniyus, I don't talk about kashrus, so what else can I talk about? He says, talk about Judaism, just don't talk about this. You know, they wanted to have the rabbi there, over that he should mamish be negeya and tell them what they have to do. People are not willing to be makayim. So the Rav Tevye says, it shouldn't be someone that you're putting out on a pedestal. It has to be shaytan b'shaytan titan l'cha. That's the second shot. Shot number three. I saw Ramesha Feinstein, in the Sefer Darish Moshe, says a very nice pshat. By Lech Lecha, we find the word Lecha, Lech Lecha. So Rashi asks over there, what's the Lecha? La'ana Oscha Ulutei Voscha. It's for your good and for your benefit. So Ramesha says a similar thing over here. He says, Sheftim v'sheftim titim Lecha. Most people don't like people telling them what to do. Nobody likes to be ordered around and says, do this, and learn this amount, and give this amount of tzedakah. Historically, Rabbanim, from the times of the Night of Yehuda, and even in the times of the Rishayim, suffered terribly at the hands of the people that they were leading, because nobody wants to be told what to do. Taisus Yontif was put in jail, and the Imam was a threat for his life, because one of the Balabakim didn't want to be Mekayim what he wanted to be Mekayim. The Torah tells us, Sheftim v'sheftim titen l'cho l'hana oscho l'tei voscho. It's for your good and it's for your benefit. Because if a person lives without restraint, if he lives without someone that he's afraid of, that's going to give him mussar, it's not for his benefit. And the Torah continues over here. Hashem alekecha noisim l'cho l'shvatava. Again, l'cho. If you want the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is l'hana oscho l'tei voscho, you have to have the person that's guiding you. And that's l'hana oscho l'tei voscho. It doesn't seem pleasant. Of Lamaisa, it's Lahana Oskar Lutai Boska. That's a pshat. Ramesha brings down Cain such a pshat in the Sefer Darish Maisha. One more remez in the word Lacha. Shaykhtim, the Shaykhtim, Titan Lacha, Lacha's Begamatria, the Lamed and the Chav is Begamatria, 50, together with the word itself, with the Kailu, is 51. That refers to the 51 days that you have. Elo is 30 days. You have the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that's 40. There's 4 days in between in Kippur and Sukkot, that's 44, and you have the 7 days of Sukkot. These are all days of Yemei HaDin. Even Sukkot, we know, we're needing Alamayim. Shaytan v'shaytan titan l'cho. You have to imagine there's a shayfet up there and there's someone that's an enforcer and these Yemei HaDin. In the days of Lecha, in these 51 days, you have to realize that there's a Shevet up there that's judging everything, and you have to take it seriously. You just can't expect that just because last year was a good year, Memelo, this year is going to be a good year as well. You have to imagine that there's a shayved over there, and there's a bezin shalmaila, and you talk, you have to picture it. That's titei lecha, together with the kaivo, is 51 days. These are the 51 days of Yimei HaMishra. Tayyar says, loisita lecha asherah kol eitz. Do not plant an asherah, that's a tree which was served as avodah zarah. Mara says, Omer Reish Lakish, kol haman dayan she'enoy hovun. If somebody appoints a judge which is not proper, ki ilu neiteya asherah b'Yisrael. It's like he's planting an asherah tree in Klal Yisrael. How do I know that? Because it says sheftim b'sheitri tikulucha b'orchol sharecha, and it speaks about the judges. And right after the parish of the judges, it says loisita lucha asherah. So if you plant, if you put a dayan in that's not proper, it's like planting an asherah. What's the connection between appointing a dayan which is improper and planting an asherah tree? What's the pshat? So Chaim Briska says that in a way, an asherah tree is worse than regular avodah zarah. Why is that? Because regular avodah zarah, it was an idol. You know, it was, you were able to see clearly that this is an avodah zarah. So if a person had a title for avodah zarah, he was idol, but people were not fooled into doing anything with it. A tree is a regular tree. It doesn't look like there's anything wrong with it. It's a beautiful tree, you know. And sometimes it's possible that you come to the tree and you're mishabeach the tree for its beauty, and you don't even realize it's avodah zarah. So in a way, an asherah tree is more dangerous. It's easy to make a mistake on this asherah tree, and somehow or other serve it when you're not even realizing that you're doing something wrong. If somebody appoints a diet that on the outside he looks like a tamakacha, he looks like a tzaddik, he gets dressed with a kapote, and yeah, inside he's really an improper person. That's a person that chaps around people, they can be fooled by him, and they can be totally misled. That is done to the asherah tree. Just like the avodah zarah of asherah can more easily mislead people, so too a dayan which is not hagun can easily mislead people. They can fall into his trap and they can go off the derech. Asherah v'zeh, it's compared to atzei asherah. Right afterwards, the pasuk says, "V'lo yisokim lecha matseva," and don't establish for yourself a matseva, a monument, asher sonei Hashem lekeh, which Hashem does not like. The simple pshat in this is that in the days of the Ovis HaKadoshim, they used to build a matzeva which is similar to a mizbeach. A mizbeach was made out of numerous stones, and a matzeva was a one-stone mizbeach to Hashem. But once the Goyim started doing it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Now I don't like it anymore. Don't make a one-stone matzeva. Do it like the regular mizbeach." There's a beautiful pshat here from the Ishbitz Rebbe, Mordechai Yosef of Ishbitz. He used to say to his chassidim like this: don't do something today just because you did it yesterday. You have to do something today because today you see fit to do it. A lot of times we do things by rote because we always did it. Our fathers did it that way. Our grandfathers did it that way. And maybe we also do it. But there's no freshness. There's no life to what we're doing. So he used to tell them, don't do something today just because you did it yesterday. Do something today because today you feel core, a new hischachus, a new awakening in this. So he types that into the possibility. Don't let your Judaism be done into a stone. It shouldn't be stonified Judaism without any feeling, without any hergation, without any warmth. Every single day, you have to have a new hakara. You put on tefillin today because I just did it yesterday. Every day a person has to realize that tefillin means your time. The Svarim say, you're tying yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every day, every morning that you do it, you're tying yourself over and over again to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same thing with tefillah. It's a new relationship with Hashem. Sadia Goyim, famous story with Sadia Goyim. Sadia Goyim used to say vidui every day and do tshuva for the fact that yesterday he did not recognize Hashem the way he recognizes him today. Every day he had a new recognition in Hashem. So he used to do tshuva today because he didn't recognize him yesterday the way he recognizes him today. And when did he start this? Avraham Yisrael Shalai. He was once staying over at an inn by a simple yid. And the yid did not know that this was the great Rasad Yigrain. After he left, after Rasad Yigrain left to go to a different town, so a neighbor came to the city. He says, "You're so lucky. You were zoichi. You're not a shad from the daily habit." "What are you talking about?" He says, "Rasad Yigrain stayed with me." He says, "That was Rasad Yigrain. If I would have known, I would have been mechaber a lot better." So he chased after Rasad Yigrain. And he found him. He said, please, please, Rebbe, be meichel me. I didn't treat you properly. Properly, you treated me wonderfully. He says, yes, but if I would have known that you're the greater Sadia Goyim, I would have treated you with much greater respect. So Sadia Goyim came to the Hakorah to say the same thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Had I known yesterday, if had I known you with the greatness that I recognize you with today, I would have treated you with greater kavod yesterday. That's what I'm saying, Chatzus B'chol Yom. And that's what the Torah says over here, well, it's talking about Chol Matzeva. Don't show up there, but Matzeva of Yiddishkeit, and that's the way it remains every single day. You have to try and be Machadish, a new vibrancy of your Yiddishkeit every single day. There's a Gevaldige Pshat here that the Chofetz Chaim said. It says over here, Soyim Tosim Alecha Melech. It's a mitzvah for Klal Yisrael to appoint a king. One of the prohibitions for a king is v'loyar b'loynoshim. He's not allowed to have too many wives. So the Gemara, the Medrash tells us, Shlomo HaMelech, we know, was married with wives. He had hundreds of wives. So when Shlomo HaMelech went over the limit of what the Melech is allowed to do, the yud of loyar b'loynoshim came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time. So listen, a document, one of the letters is erased, the whole document becomes bottled. Shlomo HaMelech is erasing the chelik of your Torah, now the whole Torah is going to become a laughing stock. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. May 1,000 Shlomo HaMelechs get lost, but not one ace of the Torah is going to become bottled. The Shlomo HaMelech is punished for whatever. So Chofetz Chaim asks a question. Shlomo HaMelech was not the first Melech that was over on Averis. First of all, Shaul HaMelech was over on not killing Agag. He didn't kill out the Amaleki the way he should have. David HaMelech, he had a mice of Bathsheba, where he sent away Yahidi to be killed. Then he had another mice, he counted the Bnei Yisrael, and he wasn't supposed to count them, and there was a sickness that came about because of it. So there were other kings that were over Averis. You don't find that the Pshukim came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Taina. Look, Shaul was over on an Avera, and David was over on an Avera. So what's up is not by Shlomo HaMelech, the Pesuk in the Torah came with the Taina, he was over on this mitzvah in the Torah. So Chofetz Chaim says a beautiful pshat. Chofetz Chaim says, any mitzvah in the Torah, let's take Chilul Shabbos. If you have people that Rachmon al Islam Machal Shabbos, but the mitzvah doesn't become bottled, because you have plenty of people that are yipping Machal Shabbos. So even though there's others that are not keeping it, but others are here keeping it, so the mitzvah is not bottled. Same thing with kosher. So Chassidim have people that don't eat kosher. There's always people that do eat kosher. So at least the mitzvah is being preempted by the other people that are keeping it. But a mitzvah that's set for a melech only, if the melech doesn't keep it, nobody else could be Machal. That means the mitzvah is going to become bottle. So Dafka over there, by David HaMelech, what did he do? He counted the Bnei Yisrael. That's an Isra set for everybody. Same thing, he sent away Uriah, he killed. It was sort of like murder. Other people were being Mekayim that the right way at the time. Same thing with Shaul HaMelech. I'm sorry, that was by David HaMelech, rather. By Shlomo HaMelech, it was a mitzvah that was miyuchin on the king. A mitzvah that was miyuchin on the king, over there nobody else could keep that. And since nobody else could keep that, Mela, that is why it came with the time I'm becoming bottle. And if I'm going to become bottle, then the rest of the time will become bottle. So the Chofetz Chaim said about this, you see from over here, that mitzvahs that you see that people are treading on, that people don't keep, you have to be extra careful. You have to try and be the kind of the mitzvah should not become bottle. The Chofetz Chaim this time was talking about the Yisra of Lashon Hara. People are very lax on Lashon Hara, and people, you know, they just speak whatever's on their mind. They're very lax. He says, we have to be extra careful that in those mitzvahs that you know that are going to waste, that are going to waste, you have to be extra careful to be the kind. And I remember when I was a kid, so you had the Shaklis Laboratory in Williamsburg, on Lee Avenue, Mr. Rosenberg's Rhino Lebraka. So he was the only one that was, they used to check for Shaklis. So he used to have in his advertisements, the mitzvah Shaklis with a foot stepping on it. It says, don't tread on me. You know, nobody else knew anything about Shaklis. He was the one that was mefaris in the mitzvah. He managed to save the mitzvah from becoming bottle. I heard a Nifladika story from Moshe Neishlos, a Chatzadik Lebraka. After the war, Moshe Neishlos, he was in Sakon, Kamal, he was saved from certain death, who knows how many times. And his brother heard Lechatchila that he was killed, And then he heard later on that he might have been saved. So his brother was looking for him all over. And finally he found him in a certain town. It was an Erev Shabbos. He rushes into the Beis Medrash and he sees his brother Rav Moshe sitting and learning by a Gemara. So he rushes over to him, wants to hug him, he wants to kiss him. Rav Moshe says, Beis Medrash is empty. He says, quiet, come sit down, let's learn together. Didn't say anything to him. They're sitting and learning together for a while, and then slowly but surely, people that had prepared for Shabbos already, they were coming, and they sat and learned in the Beis Medrash, and Rav Moshe told his brother, oh, now I can talk to you. How's everything? What's doing? They spoke over what happened throughout the war. So his brother asked him, what's up? When I first came to meet you, you just wanted to sit and learn. Now all of a sudden you want to talk. So I'll tell you why. So many people in Chacham were killed, Rachmana Litzlan, in the war. And I'm scared that there's no learning anywhere. So there's no learning anywhere. It's an Erev Shabbos. When people are busy preparing for Shabbos, who's going to be learning and keep the Torah going? So I figure I'll sit and learn and I'll be the one that's keeping the Torah going. I couldn't talk then. But now that I see that people are coming in and they're starting to learn, it's not like a Tachis Fatah. It's the godless of Adam that you can't allow a mitzvah in the Torah to become bottle. There's a beautiful part that I saw. It's Megeya in general, but it's especially Megeya to El. By a Melech it says, Mikerev Ochicha Tosim Olecha Melech. From amongst your brothers, you should place a king. You're not allowed to place a king from a foreign nation. And even if it's a yid, it has to be a yid that is miyuchas. The Gemara tells us in Baba Basra that Hurdus, the king, King Herod, was an eved, a servant of the Chashmei Noyim. And he became a yid. They were Makaiwim. And he took over, he killed out all the Chashmei Noyim, and he wanted to become the king. So it says, Mikerev Ochicha, Mufchor Shevo Ochicha. It has to be from the chosen one amongst your brothers. It can't just be any Yid, someone that's on the fringe of the Yiddishkeit. It has to be Mufchor Shevo Ochicha. But the Swan of a Rebbe, Rav Avraham, said a beautiful pshat. Mikerev Ochicha, from amongst your brothers, Tosim Olech HaMelech, you can place upon yourself the Melech Malchem Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's Ava V'Achva amongst people, if there's Achvas amongst the people, they care about each other, they do chasadim with each other, they talk nicely to each other, Mikerev Ochicha, from his garbus of one brother to the other, Tosim Olech HaMelech, you take that, you can be Mekabel on yourself, Omar HaShemayim. That's especially very important in the Gaya El, there's so much of a stress on the Yod of L'Chaveiroi. We know that Yom Kippur, after this book, is not Moichel, unless people are Moichel each other. There's the painter's Gemara. The Gemara says that a Goy came to Hillel. First he came to Shammai and he said, teach me the Torah while standing, I'll write a lachas. So Shammai pushed him out and he says, that's not Kavanah Torah. The Torah which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and you want to know about Regalachas, that's a design I told you didn't want to deal with him. But Hillel told him, the Lechos Sami, Lechabra Kavli Sadat. That which you don't like, don't do to your friend. The Ida Pirushu, the rest is just commentary, Zil Gemar. That fits, what's the connection? What's the connection between that's been notable chaveri? There's plenty of been notable amokhims. But a teretz is for a person to be zeichet to emes the kabbalos on Malchus Shemayim. The first you say it has to be b'kera b'chicha. If there's av of the achva, there's an achdus amongst people, and they look out for one another. That's the yisoid of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And from that, tosav alechem elach. From that, you can be zeichet to Malchus Shemayim. I wouldn't chavis everybody.